What is up, everybody? Welcome to another fun-filled episode, a galaxy far, far away, of Shooting the Sith, episode 9. We keep rolling along here. But this week, I will not be doing the show alone, which is very, very awkward. I don't know how people do it, but they do it. Good for them. For me, I need a little feedback. And for giving my feedback this week is one of the newer members to PopCulturePros.com. He is a good friend. He has his own show called Up in the Air, which you all should be listening to on all our platforms. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to bring him in. It's Don. What's up, Don? How's it going, brother?
What's going on? They say it's a rule of two, right? With the Sith, it's a rule of two. So
exactly. I need a rule of two to do this damn show because it's hard to,
there you go,
to, you know, talk about it by yourself without getting any feedback.
Right?
The boss is already chiming in. What's up, Steve? Thank you for sharing the show out, man. Because it's hard to do that too with my hand and phone and I'm talking and pain in the ass. Don, man, what's been going on? How's everything? How's your show coming? How you liking Pop Culture Pro so far?
Yeah, no, happy to be a part of the team. I've been running my show, like you just said, solo for a long time. So I host alone. Every once in a while, though, I do some specials. And we, of course, got to always have a guest to get those specials really popping. So I always love getting an opportunity. Like you said, it's so different getting to vibe with someone, having a conversation, going back and forth. So it's always fun. So I appreciate the offer to jump on. This is the first time I've had a chance to collaborate with the Pop Culture Pros.
I'm honored. I'm honored. So, it's me. You know, I'm honored.
Yeah,
I'm happy.
It'd be one of your shows. I know you're all over the place. So I knew it was a matter of time, whether it was wrestling, Star Wars, whatever the case may be.
Well, you know what?
Find our way together.
You're welcome at any show, anytime. I know we have a time difference. So that's going to be a pain in the ass. We're doing shows. You're getting home from work. I know it's a pain in the ass. But anytime you want to come on, especially a wrestling show too. We like to have more people on the wrestling show. So we absolutely love to have you on that.
Lifelong fan. So used to do a wrestling podcast myself back in the day before podcasts were the thing to do. We were one of the originators. I love talking wrestling. So
I'm glad to check you guys out. Oh, absolutely. I'm glad. I'm glad I know that. So I said, we'll even work around your schedule once in a while if you really want to come on, especially. Like news today, what broke today about Vince. That's major news. So that's something I can't wait to talk about on the show. So, yeah, we like to get more feedback on that show. So you're more than welcome anytime on any show. Are you a football guy too?
I'm not. Guy? Yeah. I'm going to be your pop culture geek. And that's about that. And
We're all geeks in one way or another.
True.
Don't even worry about
that's
it.
Why See, we do this, right?
Exactly. What else are we going to do? So, Don, I'm going to hit you right off the bat. I'm going to put you on the spot. I do this all the first timers on this show. The movies. You got the nine Skywalker sagas, Rogue One, the Clone Wars movie, and Solo. Put them in order for me.
Oh my God. All of them? Jeez.
Give me your top five. Give me your top five in a row.
Jeez. God, I've done this before too, and now I'm spacing. You put me on the spot. I would start with Return of the Jedi. I think that's the one that always stands out for me as the best. I would land there. I love Revenge of the Sith, so that would probably be my second. When I did this the last time, and it's been a minute, I have to go back and rewatch the new trilogy again, but I actually found myself liking the third of each franchise. So I was like Return of the Jedi, Revenge of the Sith, and Rise of Skywalker. As kind of the standouts for me, kind of, I don't know if that was the full way I'd rank them, but those, when you look at each trilogy as its own, those were the standouts. Of course, Empire Strikes Back. I love Solo. I actually think that movie's hella underrated. Mm-hmm. I would definitely, for me, Rogue One is at the bottom. I know a lot of people just love that movie.
Yeah.
I do have to watch it again. I've saw it a couple times a year it came out and then never revisited it. So I have plans to rewatch it again right before Andor launches in August, so I can get that refreshed in my mind. But that one just didn't pop for me. It didn't land for me the way I wanted it to. So that's why I'm interested to see how I feel about this show, because I know when that trailer dropped during Celebration, everybody was like, oh, that Andor trailer. And I was just like, like, I didn't think it was that great of a trailer either.
Yeah.
So I don't know what I'm missing with it. I don't know if it's just the complete disconnect of that franchise to kind of the rest of the saga. That's pretty much, I'd pretty much go like the original trilogy. And then I love Force Awakens. I would just kind of wrap at the bottom with Rogue One, you know, Attack of the Clones, Phantom Menace, kind of in that bottom kind of tier. But definitely for me, the top is Return of the Jedi and Revenge of the Sith. I love those two.
Okay, I can get on board with that. Yeah, I am a huge Rogue One guy. I am a huge
Rogue One fan. A lot of people are, man.
It wasn't just a Vader scene at the end either. It just had that Episode 4 feel. It had that New Hope feel. It, you know, and I think the special effects with Tarkin was fantastic when the way he brought him back.
So, yes.
And yeah. And I'm a big Empire guy. So, yeah, Andor, I always say Andor is the reason why Andor proves that the Empire were the good guys.
Okay.
Because what did he do at the beginning of that movie? He killed his friend to get away. Yeah. Okay, I said, look, this is your Rebel Alliance killing people for no reason. You know, so I kind of like to bust balls with that. So, but yeah, I've what was this? Terzio. Sergio's not here. Where's Terzio? Sergio, this is Star Wars. This ain't no Mets talk or wrestling. Don't come back here. All right, so Don, real quick too. We haven't been on your first time. What have you thought of Obi-Wan so far? Of course, we're getting the hate. We're getting the haters on the line. We're getting haters for this. Yeah. They hate the kid. First of all, you hate Princess Leia. You have no soul. I think this kid's fantastic. Right. But they're hating Reva. They're hating the special effects. They're not liking the show. Give me your opinion first of the first four episodes, and what do you think?
Sure. I like it. I dig it. I have really no qualms with this show. So far, only episode 4 was kind of lulled a little bit. Mm-hmm. But even then, I found myself liking stuff. You know, I dug just the more simplized concept of him breaking into the base and trying to, you know, find Leia. I think the little girl's great as well too. I didn't know how I'd feel about that when they first brought her out in episode 1. I was like, oh god, not a little kid. I don't know, like how is this gonna play into it? But I think she's done a phenomenal job. I like what she's added to it. I heard somebody say it's very much Mandalorian, you know, except it's just Leia instead of Baby Yoda. So,
yeah, exactly.
Which I was like, huh, that is kind of interesting. But overall, though, man, I mean, I don't know. I think it's a nostalgia thing for me. You know, like I said, that was kind of my disconnect with Rogue One, was that it didn't have a ton of connection, whereas, you know, other than the end. But with Obi-Wan, it's so great to see Ewan McGregor back in this role. It's awesome to see Vader again. Anytime you can get Darth Vader, and he's just been so badass in this show. You know, seeing the Inquisitors come to life, and just the show's given me enough of what I wanted that I'm digging it, man. I'm along for the ride. It's crazy that there's only one episode left. I don't know how this is going to wrap up in one more episode. But so far, so good, man. I don't know where a lot of the hate's coming from. I don't think the effects look crazy. I think everybody's done a really good job. Reva, I can understand a little bit of the stuff. I don't really like that character either, and was kind of happy with how episode 5 went. but I mean, I didn't hate it. Like, I'm not on Twitter, you know, blasting anybody. But yeah, so far, man, I do really dig the show. I'm just happy to see them back. It was cool seeing the flashbacks with Hayden on the new episode, and just, I mean, like I said, to me, it's a big pop. I mean, anything that's kind of continuing that story, kind of closing these gaps between 3 and 4, I'm down for it.
Yeah, man, I feel the exact same way. I think my problem with Reva is that she's just Reva. Like, everyone else is an alien with an accent, with a this, with a, and she's just like, whatever, dude. Like, she's like a, I don't want to offend anybody, but she's like a ghetto chick, kind of. Like, just an angry, just, you know, whatever, like a normal woman. I think people get pissed off at that. She, you know, all the other ones are all aliens and crazy looking and accents, and I don't know. I just think that's the person. I don't mind her. I don't mind her at all. Character's a little annoying, but, and I knew the twist was coming. I knew something was up with her. It wasn't, I knew she wasn't going to just be after Obi-Wan for no reason. We'll talk about that in a second. So what do you think of my theory, though, by the way? I mean, it's coming true, really, that each episode so far has echoed a movie. You know, episode 1 of Obi-Wan was like episode 1 Phantom Menace. You had Luke doing the little pod racing. It was on Tatooine. Episode 2, you had a seedy underworld bar with a couple clones laying around. They had the clone on the street. Episode 3, you got Obi-Wan versus Vader. Someone got a little burned. Episode 4 was a straight-up remake of Star Wars, Rescue the Princess. even with the certain shot with the communicator lying on the was the exact shot from episode 4. And now 5, you got the rebels trapped in this little base being attacked by the I mean, I think that's just my personal opinion. I don't know if they did it that way on purpose. I don't know.
Whatever. I like it. I like it. I would have never pieced that together. I wouldn't have looked at it that way. But great, great points. I mean, I could see piecing that together, and I'm sure a lot of it is homages, you know, which everybody loves to do and kind of give us, again, we're all sucker for nostalgia. So, you know, it's giving us these little nuggets to be like, ooh, I like that, or ooh, I remember that, or ooh, that connects. So, I like that. I like that.
Well, ever since Lucas said, you know, everything rhymes, all the episodes need to rhyme, that's what all everyone talks about. So I'm thinking that's what this is. I think this is, like you said, like a straight up kind of an homage is the, probably the best word to use. So, then we jump into this episode, which by that theory should be a little Empire Strikes Back-ish. Yeah. And yeah, it kind of was a little Empire Strikes Back-ish. So now let's jump into it real quick. The opening scene. Everyone went crazy for this opening scene. You have Anakin Skywalker, episode 2, Anakin Skywalker. They didn't really de-age him that much. Maybe a little bit.
No.
But, you know, I hated he looks young enough to play that role anyway. He really didn't age, you know, too badly.
You know what they did a good job on is they had the glow of the lightsaber really coming off his face.
Yeah,
so it was
yeah.
blue. So yeah. kind of that took away from a little bit of the aging that they didn't have to touch.
Yeah, that's true. That was really good. But we start with him staring out the window on Coruscant. And you know where he was staring at, right? You know what he was staring at? He wasn't just staring out the window. I see. I'm putting you on the spot again, Don.
What was he looking at?
He was looking at that big building in the center. That's Padme's building. That's Padme's apartment. So if you go back to episode 2, you'll see that's what he was staring at. So, you know, daydreaming. Obi-Wan comes in looking like Jesus. Our episode 2 Jesus. And, they have themselves a little lightsaber battle. How great did that feel and look to you when that first happened?
I mean, it was awesome. It was really great. I've been waiting for a scene like this since the show started because we knew they brought Hayden Christensen back. And it's like, for what, really, right? At the end of the day, because Darth Vader, you don't know who the hell's under that suit. The voice is James Earl Jones. It's like, why do we need Hayden? You know, like, I know they're saying it's Hayden in the suit, but like, do we really need that? So I was like, at some point, we got to get some flashbacks. We got to get some other, you know, dialogue between the two where he can actually act and be in the show. So I was like, here it is, finally. And hopefully we'll get more of that in the next one because I like the way that they're showing it's Obi-Wan reflecting and then it bounced right to Vader's face looking out the window because he's reflecting. And I like that they just have that connection, almost like a father-son kind of thing, but there's so much hatred there for what has happened. And awesome, awesome opening. I love this episode. Like,
yeah. Yeah, I especially love the fact that, you know, again, overconfident Anakin and Obi-Wan knowing you can beat me. He's like basically said, maybe I'll win this time. And I was like, oh, that's a great thing because Anakin, you know, he's known as a badass. He probably been, what, third? By episode 3, he was, what, third maybe, I would say? You have Yoda, Mace Windu, and then him as the best fighters?
Yeah.
I guess. Maybe. We'll see. I mean, fantastic scene. Even he had the voice down. He sounded like he was a 19-year-old. I hated Christian again. I don't know how they
master.
Did that. Master. Yeah, exactly. That was great. Where did we jump into after that one? Oh, yes. Like I said, we got Vader back and forth. He introduces Reva. Reva did a good job. He makes her kneel. Names her the Grand Inquisitor. You knew this wasn't going to last. Yeah. I said, are you a big Rebels guy? You watch Rebels, Clone Wars, all that stuff?
I don't. No, I'm actually not a fan. Well, let me preface. Like, I say not a fan of the animated stuff, but that's just because I'm not a big animated guy in general. So, like, to me, like, Star Wars to me is all the live action. I've tried to watch important episodes of those things just to kind of connect certain characters, like, to learn more about, like, Ahsoka and, like, different things, like, you know, right before Mandalorian with some of the characters there, you know, Sabine and all the different stuff. So I've tried to kind of just see where certain people came from, you know, like, just like in Book of Boba Fett when Cad Bane came out and everybody lost their mind. I'm like, who the hell is this blue guy, right? Like, because I didn't watch that stuff. So I had to go back and look up, like, who is he? So a lot of that I am kind of lost on. And I'm hoping that the Ahsoka show will kind of fill in some of those gaps for me from a live action standpoint. But not big into Rebels and stuff, but definitely recognize some of that stuff, like the clone troopers and storming the Capitol and stuff like that.
Yeah, and like I said, be anyone who's watched that knows that the Grand Inquisitor was not dead after Reva stabbed him in the heart. You know he's coming back because he's in the show. He's on Rebels, so you know he's not dead. So you know he's coming back. So you know she, you know her reign of Grand Inquisitor wasn't going to last very long.
Which Empire, thank God they did, because I was like, what a waste that when they took him out in the first episode, or was it the second episode?
Second.
That's Rupert Friend that's playing him, and he's a great actor. And I'm like, why would they get him to just be in like two scenes and then he dies? Like, it didn't make any sense to me. So it was nice to kind of bait that out and then have what we had later in the show.
Yeah, exactly. We move on to them on was it Jabim? I always forget the name of the planets.
Jabim, yeah, right? I think so.
Jabim. Obi-Wan of them arrive. They see they know that this ship is on its way. They have to prepare. They have to get ready. The Empire does show up. They seal the doors shut. They gotta, you know, they can't get the doors open. Who are they gonna send up into the vent? Princess Leia. And Princess her attitude, I absolutely love. She's like, get me a ladder. I got this. And yeah. the guy's like, I'm not trusting Ice Cube's son, Roken, who I like, by the way. I like his character. I'm not trusting this little girl. Everyone's like, I trust her. Get the girl a ladder.
Get her a ladder.
It's almost like, get this man a shield. It's like, get this girl a ladder. Do it.
It's such a weird little thing, but like, I laughed at that part because I'm just like, it's funny that it's ladders that are in the Star Wars universe. They call it ladders too. They could at least gave it a different kind of name, right? I was like, it always trips me out in sci-fi stuff when the names of everyday household tools are the same thing that we would call it on Earth, you know?
Episode 4, I was like, the probe droid was this little probe droid, but it had a needle on it, like a regular hypothermic needle at the end of it. I'm like, really? Yeah. Hypothermic needle at the end of this robot? But I thought that was pretty cool. So Princess Leia again. I love this kid, man. I don't understand people's. She is Princess Leia. This girl has done a phenomenal job holding on to that. And again, I don't get the hate. I don't understand it. It makes no sense to me. And like you said before, you're digging this little girl too, right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I do. Yeah, I think she's been a great addition. I think she's fun. I think she's sparky. I think like you said, she's Princess Leia in a nutshell at 10 years old. And I just think that's just in general. There's a lot of people, like how I said, I'm not into the anime stuff. There's a lot of people that just hate kids in shows, right? The second a kid shows up, they're just like, I hate that kid. Like, people just find kids annoying sometimes. And when they're added into an adult show, especially when it's, you know, I didn't expect her to be in the whole damn show. Like, I thought it would be, she got kidnapped. He went and, you know, got her because her dad asked him to. And he reluctantly went and rescued her, and that would be, we'd be done by episode three, and we're off to another adventure. So I'm actually very shocked that she's still with him, and we're still going down this path, because it's almost retconning to an extent, you know? Like, you think back to the original movie, and the hologram of, like, help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi, like, you know, you fought along my father in the Clone Wars, you know? And it's like, what about you took me across the universe and we had that adventure together? You know, we got to get some overdubbing.
She was just being prim and proper and, you know, getting
right,
that message.
Exactly.
She didn't have much time to get that message out.
We won't talk about our adventure. We're going to talk about my dad. So,
but it does solve a sequel trilogy question of why the hell would she name her kid Ben? Now we know why.
Yeah.
Because totally. I would think, why would I was, that's the first thing I thought. Why would you name this kid Ben? It makes no sense. There's this old man you met one time for 15 minutes. You're going to name your kid after him? I don't understand that. But now it kind of makes total sense.
I don't know if that was planned in any sort of way. I find it hard to believe that it could be. But that's a real good retcon that they could come full circle.
Yeah, because that'll help make the sequel trilogy make a little bit more sense. Because it's just one of those things. Why Ben? Why, of all names, why Ben?
Yeah.
I don't get it. So so the Empire finally arrives. Reva goes down with a bunch of stormtroopers. They seal themselves in. And I really like this scene. We get the reveal of Reva's true feelings. Obi-Wan and her up against the door using the Force. They're talking to each other. And Obi-Wan says, you're not serving him. You're hunting him. You want to kill him. And she finally reveals that she watched Anakin Skywalker murder her friends in Order 66, stabbed her through the stomach, and left her to die, but she didn't die again, by the way. This chick must have a hard ass stomach. she got something going on down there because again, she didn't die. Yeah. She hid under the bodies of her friends, and that's a little traumatizing. How she ends up being I would love to see how she ends up being an inquisitor, because that's just, you know, it's crazy. But yeah, we get that whole. So what'd you think of the plot twist? Did you know something was coming? Because I kind of said in episode 2 that I don't buy what she's selling. What did you think of the twist?
It was cool, but I didn't see it coming, and it didn't. The way she's been in the show, it didn't play off to me. Like there was no payoff. Like I didn't feel like, I knew it, or that made sense, or anything. Like she's just been such a biatch this whole show that it's felt way more than. You know, like she's been so gung ho to hurt anybody. I mean, she was about to harm Leia, like in episode 4, you know, to get information. Like, I don't know. I liked it from the fact of like a storyline point of like, yes, I wanted to get close to him and have my revenge because of what happened to me and my friends. But I didn't feel like it was earned. I don't feel like it was deserved. And I don't feel like her character played to that reveal. Mm-hmm. So. It left me kind of flat overall.
And what about, again, I don't the fact that she hates Obi-Wan so much kind of doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make any sense.
Because like, oh, no, where were you?
She should have been like, let's work together, you know, like, hey, like, if that would have played out, which they could have done in episode 4, it would have made more sense. And then maybe had, you know, Vader kind of read her mind in episode 5 and kind of be like, I know what you're up to. And, you know, she's like, oh my God, how'd you find out? You know, kind of thing. And we could have all been aware at that point, but. Yeah, I just think they played it wrong.
Yeah, that's the part of the episode I didn't like, was because where were you when this was going on? Bitch, I was fighting my clones. My clones turned on me. I was fighting Grievous. You know, I'm drowning in the water here, and that's where I was when this was all going on. You can't blame me. So her hatred for Obi-Wan really didn't make sense. I thought it was going to be that Obi-Wan was the one that took her from her family. That was my first thought. And she's just pissed off at the whole life. Not just the fact that, you know, this whole Vader thing. I thought he was like, oh, you came to me. You're the one who stole me from my family and brought me to the temple. I didn't want to be a Jedi or that, but I was wrong. And that's okay. I don't mind being wrong. So I agree with you. I don't think the payoff, it doesn't fit the episode to me. It doesn't fit the story, especially considering what happens, which we're going to move on to now. We'll just jump right to that ending, because that ending was fantastic. Vader does show up. Obi-Wan decides to surrender, or to go out there and fight. Let's say, like, you need your weapons. You know, I don't need my weapons. I know how to fight without fighting, and I know what I'm going to do. He goes out there, he surrenders, and he basically tells her, "I'm not here to bring me to him. I'm bringing him to you. You're going to do this right now." And he convinces her to send him away with these two stormtroopers, who Ninja Kenobi, by the way. Oh, I really dig in this series. We didn't realize he could fight so well. He takes care of those stormtroopers, disappears into the background. Vader comes walking through, pissed, and then we get one of the most magical moments in Star Wars. If you played the video game The Force Unleashed, you've been waiting for a scene like this all these years. He grabs the ship with the Force,
dude,
holds onto it, and then wham. Rips it out
and then rips it open.
And then rips it. Yeah, see, that was the part that I liked. It was such a smooth boom, boom.
Yeah,
I was like, holy shit! And he sees the ship empty. I'm on the train, by the way, watching this. Like, you know, 7 a.m. I'm like, fuck! I'm trying to like contain myself. The ship is empty. It was a decoy. Another ship takes off, and you get your Empire Strikes Back ship taken off. God damn it! I'm pissed off now. Moment, but then Reva sneaks up on him. And he says, nope, turns around, grabs her. He's like, lady, I knew the whole time what you were doing. Again, now, does this, in your opinion, does this, as great as that scene was, is this a great payoff, knowing that Vader's like, lady, I read your mind the whole time. I knew what you were doing the whole time. You never had me. It's kind of like a vintage moment. You never had me.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So what do you think of that scene?
I loved it. Like you said, man, the second he grabbed that ship, like that was a sit off the couch moment where I was like, okay. And then, like you said, pulls it down, rips it off, rips the door off, and really just rips the whole side off. and you could just see the power, man, like pulling that whole ship down. Like, you think about, like, you know, Luke struggling to bring an X-Wing out of the water and, like, you know, an Empire, yeah. And then he's pulling a whole ship down. But yeah, and the fight with Reva had me dying because she's going ballistic with the lightsaber and he's just whoosh, whoosh. Yep. Whoosh, whoosh, the whole time.
He didn't even need nothing, dude.
He's just like, see ya. I don't care. Whatever. Like, and I just loved it. Everything she did. And then she pulls out the spinny one and he just slows it down and stops it, rips it in half, like, has the two lightsabers. Like, it was just, you know, he knocks the one out of her hand, then he zooms it back into his hand. Like, just the choreography on that fight was just slick. And just seeing him fight her with just using the force moves was super, super cool because we've never really seen that utilized in that way, right? Like, you're just waiting for this big lightsaber battle, and he's just literally, like, wax on, wax off with her, like, the whole time. And, yeah, and then ends up, right, you know, right there. And then you're just like, woo, what a payoff.
So, and he went back, even when he fought Obi-Wan, he fought one-handed
most
of the time. It shows you how strong and powerful he was at this time. He fought Obi-Wan one-handed. Mm-hmm. And now this, I thought was hysterical too. I was laughing, like you said, he was playing with, like playing with your food.
Yeah,
like
cat, totally.
Like a cat playing.
She's
with
trying hard as hell.
He's just like, I knew you. I read your mind. I think this is one of the quintessential Vader moments that we've seen on screen. Obviously, I was so blown away by it. Yeah, like you said, I don't know if the whole plan, her whole like a reveal was, but the fact that he knew the whole time, and how did he, again to prove that he knew the whole time. Who comes walking in? The Grand Inquisitor, who is not dead, and just rips that thing off her and says, "Yeah, you know, you're not so good. You're not the Grand Inquisitor. I am," and tells her that revenge is a good way to stay alive. And obviously, you tell her that now she might still be alive. She may want more revenge now. We'll have to find out.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Do you think she is going to be alive in the next one?
I think so.
Yeah,
I think so. I don't want
it probably will, but I think she should die. I don't know what really the point of her catching the hologram, you know, and because I'm like, is she going to try to turn evil again and like be like, I'm sorry, like, look what I found. He's got another kid on Tatooine. Go after him.
So after
it just seemed like she was doing that evil shit again.
I don't know why that made any sense either. I guess we got to find out next week. But so him and the Grand Inquisitor basically just standing and watching her, leaving her to die on this planet. I was like, oh, that's so great. But again, you would think Anakin would learn his lesson. Kill him. Obi-Wan should have killed Anakin. He's like, you should have killed me when you had the chance.
Yeah.
Kill this girl. This girl's been plotting this for 30 years, and she failed miserably. Which is great. But yeah, like you said, playing with her the way he did, this is like the Vader that we've all been wanting, this comic book novel Vader that we've all been wanting to see. I know you're not a big fan of Rogue One, but like this is right up there with that scene.
Oh, that scene is what makes Rogue One for me. Yeah. So give me the last 5 minutes of that movie any day.
And we even got a little tease in the other episode with Anakin slicing some kids up, even though you really don't see, you see it, but you don't see it. And then, of course, he was breaking necks in episode 3, whatever it was.
Again, yes, that was awesome.
So, like you said, Reva, the ship gets away. We'll find out what happens to them next week. But Reva is alive. She finds Bail Organa's communicator. He had earlier called Obi-Wan and said, look, I haven't heard from you. What the hell's going on? If I don't hear from you, I'm going to go to Tatooine and help Owen with Luke. He's going to need my help. She finds this. She hears part of that message. Now she knows there's another one, there's a Luke out there, but really didn't say who he is or why he's important. She just knows that Tatooine is a boy on Tatooine that has some significance. So I'm going to ask you the same question. Do you think she's alive? Do you think this is going to have any major playoff at the end? How is she going to get off that planet? I don't know. But, you know, stranger things have happened in the Star Wars world. The Inquisitor just took a saber to the stomach. I guess Qui-Gon's the only one who can't take a saber to the stomach. Because everyone else seems to do it with no problem. So, what do you think? You think that you're going to have a payoff of this?
I mean, unfortunately, I think she is going to probably be alive. I felt, that she should have just died right after the stab. So, the fact that they had her crawl over, grab the communicator, hear the message, kind of have that look like, ooh, I got some information now. So, what does she do with that information? You know, does she actually turn good fully and get to Obi-Wan to be like, hey, like maybe, you know, someone heard the communication? Or does she turn it into the Inquisitors? Does she turn it into Vader and be like, please forgive me? You know, like I want to help do what's right. I mean, I don't know. I really don't know what the payoff's going to be with this character. I can't see it being anything I want or that I'll like. Mm-hmm. But it's going to be interesting to see how this show ends, because it sounds like Ewan McGregor wants to do another season. I feel like we're going to leave off with kind of them finding out about Luke and then him having to kind of protect Luke maybe in season two. We got him protecting Leia in one and maybe Luke in season two, and then that'll close the gap there for his story. But yeah, something big's got to happen. I mean, one more episode left. We're going to get that showdown probably in Tatooine.
You think we're going to go to Tatooine?
Probably.
Ooh, see, that's going to be rough. See, that kind of destroys a whole...
Yeah,
like you said, that's retconning big time then.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of thought the fight they had was the only one we were going to get. So you think we're going to have another one?
I think we'll have another one. I don't see how you can have a finale to the show without them meeting again and fighting in some form or fashion.
Yeah, that is interesting.
You know?
See,
I don't know. How else do you wrap this show up with something good enough to really get everybody like, woo, if it's not Vader and Obi-Wan. But
they can't know he's on Tatooine, though. That's the whole problem with that. You know, yeah. That's where he hides for the next 10 years until Luke is ready. So, yeah, like I said, I don't know how they're going to wrap it up. I don't know where they're going to wrap it up. Are they going to find, you know, is anyone going to find out about Luke other than Reva? But then again, like Reva really didn't hear a name. She heard a boy.
Yeah.
She heard Tatooine.
But isn't that the Inquisitor's jobs? They just find out
where people are.
They're bounty hunters. So, yeah, I guess,
basically.
You know, all she needs to know is there's a boy on Tatooine.
Yeah, rumor is that this episode is going to be 133 minutes. That's the rumor that came out today.
Wow.
True or not, I have no idea. Yeah, I heard it today on one of the many thousand Star Wars sites I
subscribe
to.
45 minutes of credits.
Yeah.
That's what Disney Plus likes.
Oh, space shots, just flying shots.
Yeah.
So supposedly real 133 minutes. I hope it's 133 minutes. So that's the only way, like you
said.
That'd
be cool.
How are you going to wrap this up in 45 minutes, 40 minutes? I don't know. Because it can't be. So Don, next week, I want you on the show again, man, next week for the finale.
Yeah.
So you got to let me know what day you're available, what time.
Okay.
We'll work it out. We can work it out together. So, man, that's pretty much going to wrap up the show for that. We only got that one topic. Unless you want to talk about something else.
The only other news I saw in the Star Wars world is, you know, the rumor came out a couple weeks ago that the next film was going to be the Taika Waititi film. Mm-hmm. And then it came out yesterday, I think, that, you know, his movie will definitely be disconnected from this Skywalker universe, that basically it's not going to have any connection to anything we've seen or heard of before. So just to kind of put that out there, I had a feeling that was where his movie would go anyway. I had a feeling he kind of wanted to do his own thing and not be tied to anything, which is about time, honestly, that we get some different stories in a universe far, far away that, you know, that not everything is in the same Tatooine pocket. Yeah. So
yeah,
I'm looking forward to that, man.
Yeah, because I'm tired of hearing people, maybe Revis, Mace Windu's daughter. Why does everyone have to be a daughter or a son or a cousin?
Exactly.
There are new people out there. There are brand new people. Billions of people, trillions, zillions that we've never met before. And this guy's not everyone's related, which is something that.
We like that stuff. I thought Rey was Obi-Wan's granddaughter for when that movie came out, for sure. I was beating that drum for a long time. I'm like,
yeah, I was too, actually. Yeah. I didn't think Palpatine at all. I did think Kenobi.
No.
Kenobi with the Mandalorian, you know, and somehow that worked then.
Of Luke's daughter, but I was really thinking Obi-Wan's granddaughter somehow.
Yeah.
You know?
So what show are you looking forward to the most that was announced at Celebration?
Probably the Skeleton Crew one.
That's pretty cool.
I think, you know, it's got some really good people behind it, and it's interesting to say, like, it's about kids, but it's not for kids. So I'm like, it's an interesting style to go with. But John Watts is an incredible director and storyteller, and the fact that he's involved along with Jon Favreau and that whole team, and that it is another thing, another piece of that Mandalorian universe. So that sounds good to me. I mean, a lot of the other stuff is again, anime and little shorts and different things like that. So I want more of a, you know, real solid series. I mean, I'm super stoked for Ahsoka. I think that one's going to be incredible. I loved her. I love Rosario Dawson. I love her in that role. And I've loved every time she's popped up in The Mandalorian. So I seeing her do her own thing, and especially they're talking about Hayden Christensen coming back again, you know, to be Anakin and all this stuff. Like, I think that show is going to be incredible. So that's probably the one I'm looking the most forward to. But out of the new shows that were announced, I think that Skeleton Crew one with Jude Law probably has the best potential.
Nice. I'm looking forward to Acolytes if they do it correctly.
Acolytes sounds cool as hell. If we'll get it correctly, I need to see some good casting.
Yeah, we'll get our first Old Republic Sith versus Jedi fights, and that's and they're talking about bringing all the Sith back, the legends we've heard, Raven, Barth Bane, who I really like. So I'm really looking forward to that. That's probably my number one show at the moment. Of course, Mandalorian, the next season of Mandalorian.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. Which, you know, I'm sad it's not this year. I'm very sad it's not this year, but February, we'll get there. But I'm super excited. Think, at least they gave us that episode.
Yeah. Do you think Waititi's smooth is going to be a comedy, like a Thor kind of comedy, or you think it's going to be just straight up Star Wars?
I think it'll have comedic. I think it'll have comedic elements. He is wacky, but I think it'll have comedic elements. I don't think it'll be a straight up comedy. I think that I don't think the Star Wars. I don't think Kathleen Kennedy would approve of that to that extent. I think, you know, that was the concern with the Solo movie, you know, because they had the comedians, Lord and Miller, directing that one before they got fired. And supposedly is they were making it too slapsticky, too comedic. And that was why she didn't like their vision. So as long as she's spearheading the ship, I don't see him getting away to make it like a Ragnarok kind of movie. But, you know, it's going to for sure have comedic elements because that's just the way he does things. But I'm super excited to see what he comes up with. I mean, that was a name that I was shocked to hear is going to do a Star Wars movie. I love Taika Waititi, but like, I was like, Star Wars? Okay. Like, you can get away with that stuff with a Thor, right? But like, and they've earned it in the Marvel universe, but I'm like, okay, it's a stretch for Star Wars, but I'm curious to see what he does with it, man. Big fan.
You think we'll get Filoni doing a directing, a live action movie?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if it would do a movie. I think they'll kind of keep him in the TV space for now. But, yeah, definitely continuing to
It's amazing how him and Favreau become
the gods
of the Star Wars universe.
The gods of the Star Wars TV universe.
I even said hand him the keys and walk away. Even Kathleen Kennedy, walk away. Let these two guys do what they got to do because they've been magical. Absolutely.
I mean, good for Favreau, man. You know, a lot of people forget.
I have his name tattooed on me, by the way. I met Filoni at a Clone Wars special screening in Manhattan, and he was signing an autograph, and he actually drew like a real quick clone trooper. I said, holy shit, you could draw that fast? Like, you know, so when we went up to him, I was like, dude, if you draw me a Savage Opress, I will get a tattooed on my body. And he sat right there, looked, not even like 2 minutes, signed it. I was like, shit. So I went and I got it done.
Nice.
I don't know what the hell it is, though. I can't twist my body that way. But now I'm hoping one day to meet him again. I said, I don't know if you remember me, but I'm the asshole this that has you. I'm your ass. I have your signature tattooed on my body. So
that's awesome.
I'm hoping to meet him again one day. I think it'd be a funny story.
Yeah, no, it's great for him, man. It's great for the Star Wars universe. I mean, and big props to, I mean, Jon Favreau, dude. I'm just so impressed. I mean, this is the guy that launched the MCU as well, too. So, like, you know, going from that and kind of now, you know, I mean, he spearheaded the first Avengers movie. Like, he did everything, you know, to get the MCU up and running with the first Iron Man and Iron Man 2. And now seeing what he's doing with Star Wars, it's just like, whew, so much talent, man. I love it. And hopefully they keep those juices flowing.
Yeah, I can't wait. I've been so giddy the last couple of years. It's probably the only word I could possibly use is giddy because it's been such good
time.
Yeah, man. All right, so we're going to wrap it up here. Don, thank you so much for coming on. Tell us a little bit about your show before we get going.
Thank you. Because my show is called Am I on the Air?
I'm sorry, Am I?
And it is an entertainment podcast as well. Basically, it's a weekly show. Every Monday night, we drop new episodes, and it's breaking down the week in entertainment news. So we go over television, movies, and reviews, anything that comes out on a day-to-day basis. Basically, we collect the news of the week and then go over all the different hot stuff, the new trailers that have dropped, movie reviews, TV reviews, You know, castings, cancellations, renewals, I mean, anything in that TV movie world. So if you like that kind of stuff, definitely check us out, you know, right here on Pop Culture Pros, also amiontheair.com, and available on all your favorite podcast platforms. So just find it, subscribe, and give it a shot. I think you'll like it.
Absolutely. You never need help, let me know. I would love to be a guest on your show anytime you want me to be.
I appreciate that.
And speaking of which, next week, hopefully we can work it out, because I said the big finale is next week. So hopefully we can get you on. I'll bend to your time. I know, because you're three hours behind. So 8:30, whatever what day you want to do it. I'm down, man. I'd like to have you back on.
Awesome.
Cool, man.
Appreciate that. I'm back.
Hey, yeah. Thank you so much for coming on. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the show for this evening. Next week, season finale time. Rumored to be 133 minutes. Rumored.
Let's see.
Was it true? Who knows? Maybe. Maybe not. We'll see.
Stranger Things can do it. Come on, Star Wars.
That's true. Stranger Things was pretty good, too. I really liked this year.
It was excellent.
Yeah. All right. Thank you very much, Don. Once again, thank you so much for joining me. Ladies and gentlemen, take care. Have a good night. May the Force be with you.